Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
How's everybody doing?
Good, good. Man, you look good. This place is packed on a Memorial Day weekend. That's what I'm talking about. I guess the lake comes later, right? So you guys came to church and we'll go to the lake later. That's awesome. Praise God. Well, Pastor Joel, when he asked us to do this weekend, he sent out a kind of a message to the whole group of speakers and said, hey, here's your service time. And you can pick one of our values that most connects with you. And so immediately I was like, well, that's a no-brainer for me. I'm going to do go, right? Because this is just what I do. I love it. I love going in the streets and praying for people. And I mean, I can do go with my eyes closed. And so God was like, yeah, I know. That's why I don't want you to do go. I want you to do serve. And I said, all right, I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Lord, but I need some content here. I need some whatever. And man, over the last month, he has filled my heart and brought things back to my memory that I had totally forgotten about. Because I honestly can tell you, I would not be standing here unless I had served a long time ago. Unless I had got plugged in, connected to the right people, I never would have grown and I never would have gotten to where I am right now, I promise. So before we do anything else, I want to pray and then we'll jump right in. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for showing us your heart today. And I believe that there's some people here right now, and the Lord told me to say this on the way here this morning, that it's your first time here. And you came kind of reluctantly and you came kind of just a little bit nervous and scared and got some things going on in your life, but you were like, you know what, let me try this. He sees you, and he wants you to know that he loves you more than you can ever imagine. He thinks you're awesome and amazing, and he desires to have a relationship with you that's more intimate than anything you've ever experienced. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for those people that are here today. Speak to them, speak to everybody in here, but speak to those hearts that are hungry, Father. I feel the energy in this room. I sense your presence, and I sense a hunger in this place this morning. So I thank you, Lord God, for speaking in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Jesus is awesome. Amen. Whew, he is so good. He's got me stirred up this morning. I've been crying all day. So if I start crying, don't freak out or anything. It's just tears of joy. I get overwhelmed with the presence of God. I can't help it. You know, you just got to let it come out somewhere. As Brother Dean said, it's like a teapot. Teapot's meant for the steam to come out of the top. And so that's what my tears are. So, but anyway, so our values here at the Word of Life Church are go, grow, partner, connect, and serve. And like I said, go is just part of my life. It's part of who I am. But as I studied this message out and got ready to prepare, I realized that all these values are so connected. Like, they're all just so tied in together. You can't do one without the other. You can't try one, you know, be like, okay, I'll go on a mission trip. Well, you go on a mission trip, your whole life's going to be changed, like upside down, never be the same again. And you'll begin to do all of these values here. And so I love how connected they are. We can't do one without the other, in my opinion. Like I said, serving for me is where it all started. It all started when I made a decision to be like, Lord, I want to do more. I know there's more. I want to step out. I want to trust you. And in John 12 and 26, we'll put it on the screens real quick. It says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And you know that word honor. Some translations say reward. And so what I want to share over the next 30 minutes or 33 minutes and 5 seconds is some rewards that God has rewarded me, some ways that he has honored me that I never expected out of serving. Like, I never expected when I joined the usher team back in 2006, I believe it was, that my life would end up right here. I never saw how it was connected. And I know there's some of you in here today. Some of you guys are serving right now. And thank you so much. Let's give it up for people who serve right now. Thank you so much. We honestly would not be here without you guys. There's a lot of people serving in this church that make this thing happen and make this thing work every week. So thank y'all so much. But there's others of you who haven't chosen to serve just yet, but you're thinking about it. I can see it in your eyes right now. And I promise, this is not a sales pitch to serve. This is a testimony of what God has done in my life by making a decision to serve him. period. And so, having said that, I want to start with my first kind of experience, my first encounter with trusting God and really stepping out in faith and growing with Him. So on Highway 18, back in over in South Jackson, when we were at the old church, my wife and I met and we started going to church, and we'd been there for about a year. And I kept hearing this language like volunteer and serve, and I was not familiar with those things at all. I didn't know what serve really meant. I didn't get that because I was in a church, you know, growing up in and out, kind of in Sunday school here and there, but I never understood that. The only people that served in the church where I went to were the deacons. And all I knew about deacons is that they had to come down and be voted on to be in that role, you know, and they were kind of like these saints, and they were like, you know, holy, and that's just how I saw it. I'm not knocking deacons. If you're a deacon, I'm sorry. I promise I'm not trying to offend you. But that's how all I knew about it. And I knew another thing is that I was not qualified to be a deacon because of my past. I knew that I would never be voted in if they had seen what I had done in my past. I felt so, you know, there was a lot of shame tied to my past and things like that. And so I can remember one night or one morning, somebody said from the pulpit, I don't even remember who it was. They said, hey, if you want to serve, we have some opportunities in the back in the foyer. When you go out there, there's a table. And they said one of those tables is prison ministry. And as soon as he said it, I'm in the row, just like you are. And the Holy Spirit was just like, man, you need to do that. And I was like, are you kidding me? Prison ministry. You want me to go into a prison and talk about Jesus? Like, I barely know Jesus. You really want me to do that? And he said, yeah, I want you to do that. And so for the first two Sundays after that, I can remember getting out of service and going to the back and the table sitting there. And I can remember the guy sitting next to the table. He was all smiling and just like waiting on people to come sign up. And I'd look at him and wave and just keep going. All right. And the whole time God's talking to me like, you come on, sign up. Second week, same thing. Hey, man, how you doing? All right. Third week rolls around. I didn't tell anybody about this, by the way. I was terrified, literally terrified of what they were going to ask me to do if I signed up to serve. It's so silly. So I finally go up to the table, and I waited, because I believe it was Brother Barry. I don't think he was in the last service, but I believe Brother Barry was the one standing behind the table. And I waited until he was in a conversation with somebody, and I kind of ran up there, and I looked at him, and I was like, put my name on the list, and I was like, hey, we'll see you later, man. You know, I was hoping he would not see me so he wouldn't remember that I signed up on the piece of paper. But I did it. I signed my name. I put my name on this piece of paper and trusted God. So that next week was pretty intense for me because I'm expecting a phone call. They're going to call me and say, hey, we're going to Death Row this week and we need you to come preach to these guys. You know, and I'm not knocking that because I would go right now in a heartbeat. But at that time in my life, it's like, no, I don't want to do any of that. I want to come maybe watch, you know, just get my feet wet. And it's funny how the enemy puts all these crazy ideas and scenarios in your head of what it's going to be like. And you get there, and it's not even close to what it's like. It's 10,000 times better than you could imagine. So another week goes by, no call. A month goes by, no call. I'm beginning to kind of forget about it. It's funny because I would forget about it, and I'd be working, and all of a sudden I'd remember, and I'd just almost get sick. I'd be like, oh, gosh, I still haven't got that call. It's still coming, though. That call's still coming. Never came. I don't know why. I honestly, later on now, I believe that in my heart that was a test. I believe God just wanted to see if I'd do it. Not that He wouldn't have used me in prison ministry, and probably will one day, hopefully. But I just think He wanted to see if I would do it. So about 6 to 8 months rolls around, and I'm walking in the church. My wife and I are still going. Coming, receiving a ton from Pastor Joel, just getting filled up. And this guy walks up to me. His name is Ryan Lamberson. Anybody know Ryan Lamberson? Yeah, one of our executive pastors here. He walks up to me and he said, hey, man, are you serving anywhere? I was like, man, I really don't even know what that means. Like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, are you on a serve team? You look like you need to be serving, man, you know. And I was like, well, I'm not a member. I'm not even a member of the church. And he said, I tell you what, is your wife here? I said, yeah. He said, well, come on, let's go. So we went upstairs to this little bitty room, and in 10 minutes, I filled out an application, we prayed, and we were back in the car on the way home, and my wife and I were looking at each other, and we're like, what just happened? Like, what did we just agree to? Like, I don't even really understand what we just agreed to. But what I had agreed to was signing up for the usher team to be an usher, and my wife had signed up to be in the bookstore and cafe back then. They were kind of one and the same. So about a week goes by, and I get the first call to serve. And the first time I ushered, I was absolutely terrified You want to know why? Because the thought of having to stand up with a bucket when everybody else was sitting down and everybody looking at me terrified me. I had a huge fear of public speaking. I had a huge fear of crowds. Doing this right now, I would have told you, you can forget it. There's no way I will ever be standing in front of people speaking. There's no way. So the first time I went, I told him, I was like, man, I ain't passing no buckets, man. Like, I'm super scared. Like, don't make me stand up in front of people, okay? And Ryan was like, it's all good. We'll take care of you, man. We're not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And so they put me up in the loft where the kids were, up in the balcony, right on the right side. And I had to stand at the door like a security guard, basically, and stand there and wave at people and smile. I got that. I can do that. I'm good with one-on-one. But halfway through that message, I actually went into the kids' life area where the kids were worshiping. It was like kind of drawing me in there. And I sat on the back row, and I'll never forget that moment. I just sat there and wept, and I didn't know why. But it was the presence of God was so thick in that room, and his love and his mercy. And it's 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds in there worshiping God like I'd never seen before. I'd never seen that. And I was like, wow, this church is something else. They got it going on, man, because they're raising up generations of worshipers and generations of kids who absolutely are in love with Jesus, and you can't talk them out of it, and that's special. So the next time I served, Ryan comes to me, and he said, man, how'd you like it? And I said, oh, I'm great. I love it, man. It's awesome. Okay, cool. We're going to put you on section one today. I'm like, where's section one? Section one in the old church was this section right here. Now, if you know anything about the old church, Pastor Joel's office was kind of behind that wall, and he would come out of his office and walk all the way down that hallway or down that wall and sit right here where Brother Dean's sitting on this front row. And so I remember standing over here on this side, and I remember the first time serving, I remember Pastor Joel walking, and I'm just like, so nervous, man. I want to do everything right. You know, I don't want to do anything wrong. I want to get fired. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get fired. And so, So pastor comes by, and lo and behold, he stops and looks at me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I doing wrong, you know? And he puts his hand out, and he said, hey, how you doing, man? Nice to meet you. On his way to preach, this guy's busy, you know? Like, why does he have time to stop and talk to me? Because he does. That's who he is. I'm not going to get on that road. I'll stay there for an hour. So I passed the bucket. Stood up in front of everybody when nobody else was standing up. Everybody was staring at me, so I thought, nobody's looking. Ain't nobody looking at you when you stand up. And I passed the bucket, and I didn't pass out, and everything was cool. Everything was good. So we'll fast forward a couple years, and in those 2 years of ushering in section one, I just seemed to stick there. Every time they'd come and ask, where you want to go? I'm like, I'll go to one. I like it because I like shaking Pastor Joel's hand. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's like, that's a pastor. I honored him, and I still do, and I respect him so much. I love him. And in those 2 years, like I said, we ended up going to lunch one day. He'd come up, and he said, hey, Luke, let's do lunch one day. And I'm like, man, are you sure? Like, you want to be seen outside of this church with me? You don't really know me that well. I didn't want to, like, blemish his, you know, his reputation or anything. He said, no, I'd love to. So we go to lunch. We become friends. One thing leads to another, and I'm working at Nissan this whole time building cars, and I'm growing like crazy. I'm beginning to minister to people that I work with. I'm beginning to really trust God, use my faith. Why? Because I served. All of this came out of serving. It's not just something we talk about. It's not. When I ask you to serve, if you're in here today and I've come up to you and asked you to serve and you're not on a team yet, I promise you, it will change your life. And it's not just because we need more numbers and more people. We do, but it's not it. We know what's tied to it. I know your family's tied to it. I know your kids are tied to it. I know your coworkers are tied to it. I know the people at the gas station you're going to be pumping gas by are tied to it. It's all tied together, just like all these values. So one day I'm on the line at Nissan and I get a call. It's Pastor Joel. You're not supposed to have your phone on the line at Nissan, so I'm like ducking down, be like checking the voicemail. Don't be judging. Y'all do that. Come on now. So I'm checking the voicemail. It's Pastor Joel. Hey, Luke, this is Pastor. I just wanted to check on something. I got something I want to run by you. I think you might be interested. Call me back. So I'm like, oh, man, I'm super excited. I'm like, man, does he want me to help out at the church? You know, has he got a project? You want me to build a fence? Whatever it is, because I grew up in construction, and he knows that. And I've always told him, anything you need, I'll help you out. So I'm on the way home that afternoon, and I call him back on the interstate on 55, headed south. And he's like, hey, Luke, he said, I guess I'm going to ask you, man. He said, I've been praying about something for about a year, and every time I pray about it, you come up in my heart, and I just can't get past it. I'm like, all right. And he said, I think you're supposed to be our next full-time youth pastor. I'm just like, whew. Huh? Okay, you know, trying to be nice. It's a pastor, right? And I look down at my speedometer, and I'm doing 35 miles an hour on the interstate, literally. And I'm like trembling. I'm in shock. I think I physically went into shock, like real shock. Because what's funny is he didn't know at the time, but I had dreamed and had desires in my heart to work here. But not be a pastor. Are you kidding me? I've never been to Bible school or seminary. I definitely wasn't qualified for that. You see all these past things, these past lies that I've been believing my whole life? He's ripping them out. God's ripping all those lies out, telling me who I am the whole time. Why? Because I served. So much tied to it, y'all. There's so much tied to it. So I finally said, you know, hang on just a second, Pastor. I had to speed up and get back into traffic, you know, before I caused the pile up on the interstate. And he's laughing because I'm telling him, like, hang on. You know, he could tell I'm, like, fumbling. And he said, I tell you what, just think about it. Talk to Kelly about it. Get back with me. So I get home, talk to Kelly. I'm on cloud nine, y'all. I felt like I'd won the lottery 100 times, but 10,000 times better than that. I mean, I literally could not have been more excited than I've ever been in my entire life. I was just like, is this really happening? I had no idea how it was going to work out. But what I had learned in those 2 or 3 years of getting to know Pastor Joel was how to use my faith and how to trust God. Because in those 2 years, man, Pastor was like, hey, what do you believe in God for? In those lunches, he would talk to me, what do you believe in God for? I said, I want to get off a night shift. I was working night shift for 5 years in my marriage. And, you know, it's like we see each other in passing. I want my marriage to be better. And he's like, all right, I'm going to get an agreement with you. A year later, boom, off of nights. He's like, what do you want now? I want to get off of afternoon shift. I want to go to day shift. And he's like, all right, so we're going to go to days. A year later, boom, go to day shift. And that's when I got the call. It's because I served on an usher team in section one. Got to meet Pastor Joel, shake his hand. There's so much tied to serving. I believe there's three major things that I have learned in the last really 12, 15 years of being around this church and deciding to serve. And one of the first ones is it connects you. Serving connects us. It connects us to people who we would never probably have been connected to otherwise. It connects us to people who are in this thing. They're already doing it. And I can remember the people that I got to meet when I first started to usher. We went into this little closet. Some of you guys know it. Some of you guys are in here today that were in that closet back then. And it's this little usher room. And we all wore the blue blazers, the yellow ties, the white shirts, the khaki pants. Come on now, you know, the blue blazers, man. It was like, they gave me a blazer when I started ushering. I thought I was something. But I remember the men who were in there. Like Rudolph Williams. Ross Jackson. Brother Barry. And I could just sit here and go on and on. But I'd never seen men who were in love with Jesus like that. I'd never seen men who were unashamed of their love for him and were not ashamed to show it. I think it's where my crying thing started. We'd get in there in that huddle, and we'd literally huddle up and grab each other. They still do it today. And they get to praying, they get to swaying in there in that room, and they get to laughing and crying and worshiping God and telling him how amazing he is. And I'm going to be honest with you, the first time we did that, I wanted to run. I wanted to, like, get out. Like, what in the world are all these people doing? I don't know about all this. But the more I came, the more it just, like, got stuck on me. It changed my life, began to grow on me. And all the things that I used to make fun of when I was a kid, all the things, especially in Christianity, all the things that, you know, I used to make fun of and think were just silly, started to become real. And I began to understand that God had been talking to me the whole time. And he'd never left me. Thank God. That's a miracle in itself. I want to show you guys a quick video of one of our ushers sharing his testimony.
You know, we come to church each Sunday to listen to the message and the word, and the church serves us. So it's really become a great thing that we can find a way to serve the church and the people in the church and the things, the relationships that I've built serving just in this time with the usher team on Saturday night. It's just something special when you walk in that room on Saturday evening and see all the guys and everybody's, you know, joking around and kidding. It just means so much. I mean, to give back to the church, to give so much to me. You know, we were brought, you know, Jesus was brought in this world to serve. So what makes us think we can't serve? You know, everybody should really serve. I know it's a hard thing to do and everybody's got excuses, and I was one of them. You know, I was thinking, you know, really and truly, do I want to serve when I signed up for that usher class? And I mean, the usher service when we joined with the next, you know, when I just didn't know what to do. But, you know, I walked in that room and those guys all made me feel warm and welcome. And now with the relationship I built with those guys, I mean, we went out and did the Warrior Dash together, four or five of us did. That was an incredible experience to join up and have those, just like brothers, knowing that you can do anything with them and they will take care of you. And I proved that theory a few times when they had to pull me through when I was struggling. And if it wasn't for them, I don't believe I'd have made it. But they gave me the strength to keep moving on. And just like when you're standing on that door on Saturday evening and you see the people walking in and you smile and you greet them and you learn to know people and you learn to meet people as they come through there, and they just enrich your life so much when you talk to them for a few minutes and you learn their life story and they tell you things and they ask you things about yourself. It's just so enriching, because we don't know what other people go through when they're doing this. And it just means an awful lot to me to come to church each and every Saturday night, first of all to see the brothers in the room of the usher team, and then to meet the members of the church that come through the door as I heard them on Saturday evening.
Yeah, let's give it up for Craig. That's what I'm talking about. He's only been in the church for a couple years. It's not like he's been here his whole life. He joined the team and was kind of like, man, I don't know, man. Okay, we'll check this out. And now he's doing the Warrior Dash 3 weeks ago with six of his teammates. And I'm like, I'm intimidated by the Warrior Dash. I don't know about all that, you know, those hills and stuff, crawling through mud. But that's what happens when you get connected to the right people. You find a family, you find friends, but it's like, it's real, it's true. I want to turn to 1 Peter 5 and 9 real quick and kind of wrap up the connect part, and then we'll go on to the second thing. 1 Peter 5 and 9, it says, but resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. And what happens is when you understand, you begin to see that you're not alone. And that word suffering just means like stuff. It just means things you go through. It just means that you're not alone. When you get to see other people struggling sometimes, it's almost like it helps you, not because you are happy for them struggling, but you realize you're not the only one that's ever dealt with this. And then your life begins to get a little bit easier, begin to talk about it. I know I've had a lot of conversations leaving that usher room, going down these halls, and you know, somebody say, hey man, can I talk to you for a second? And it's in that moment right there, because of the connection that was made through serving, that I get to minister, or they get to minister to me, or whatever it is, and I realize that I'm not alone. I'm not doing this thing all by myself. And man, I'm telling you, it sends your faith, it sends your heart, it sends your confidence through the roof like never before. So that's first thing, connects us. Serving, second thing, it grows us. Serving grows us. Like I was saying, but when I met Pastor Joel in section one, I began to grow like crazy. I began to see God's heart for me. I began to see but to use my faith, you know, not just to get off nights, but for everything. I began to grow and to understand that man, I don't have to do this thing alone, and that God's going to help me. He's going to teach me. All I have to do is just keep this hunger and keep going to him no matter what. And I want to look in Luke chapter 2 real quick. Luke 2:42, it says, and when he became 12, okay, Jesus was a boy. He wasn't always like Jesus that we see in the pictures. You know, he was a kid. He was, you know, he was raised. He had a childhood, which I think is awesome. I think when I get to heaven, that's one of the first things I want to do. If I can sit down with Jesus, I want to talk to him about his childhood. I want to talk to him about the things he made and the things he played with and like, what did he do? You know, it doesn't talk about a whole lot of that in the Bible. He says when he became 12, he went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending a full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it, which is interesting. But yeah, you'll catch on to that in a second. But supposed him to be in the caravan and went a day's journey. A day's journey. That's a long time to be traveling without your boy. And they began to look for him among the relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. Now, this is the part. Sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Why have you treated us this way? Behold," I'm sure she was probably had a few other words to say too, "your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you're looking for me? Didn't you know that I'd be about my father's house, be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement just yet, which even at 12 years old, he was saying stuff that was like, you know, they didn't get it. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And then this last one, it says, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He was growing. Why? Because he was sitting at the feet of the teachers, listening and asking questions, just like I was when I went into that usher room for the first time. I was sitting at the feet of these men who understood Jesus in a way that I'd never seen before. And I would ask questions in those hallways, talking to Joe Spencer on the way. Man, I got set free and delivered one day on some stuff in my past just by asking a simple question to a man who knew Jesus. There's so much tied to your serving, guys. There's so much tied to it. It's you can't imagine how much is tied to it. It's a funny story, kind of tied into this. When I was about 8 years old, we used to go to New York City a lot in Miami because my stepfather's family is all Jewish, and so they would go back and forth, you know? And I loved getting to travel as a kid. I love my family. I love the opportunities that I had. But we would go to New York City, and at 8 years old, I mean, I was an adventurous, really curious kid anyway, and it wasn't that a city, it's not like a city was going to stop me or slow me down. And so I walked around like this the whole time. You know, I was 8 years old, and it's just like all these skyscrapers everywhere in this huge city. But about a day after that, you know, I was kind of used to it. And they were sending me down front to get Italian ices. How many of you guys know what Italian ice is? Yeah, some good stuff. Italian ices and slices of pizza on my own because my grandmother's house was in Manhattan. And so anyway, it was just a really cool experience for a kid. So we wanted to go to FAO Schwartz, the three-story toy store where Big was filmed. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about, where they play the keyboards? Yeah, you all seen Big. And the one place I wanted to go was the World Trade Centers. How many of you guys have been to the World Trade Centers? It's crazy. So we go to the World Trade Centers. We're on the very top floor. All I wanted to do was go to the observation deck and look out over it. I wanted to look through those big binoculars you put a quarter in, you know. I wanted to look out over the city of New York. 8 years old. So we stop before you go on the escalator to go out on the deck, out on the outside. And it's just this huge floor. And so it was like potty time, you know, it was potty break time. So everybody wanted to go to the potty. Everybody was like 15 family members with us, like Home Alone. And we had all these people. And it was like, okay, we're going to the bathroom here, we're going to the bathroom here, and when we come back out, we'll all go back up top. Well, I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I didn't have to go to the potty. So about that time, everybody kind of goes their way, but except for Luke. Luke doesn't go that way. Luke finds an escalator to go up on my observation deck like I wanted to do. I didn't want to have time. I was excited. So I get up on the observation deck, and in a matter of seconds, my family comes back out of the bathrooms, and Luke's nowhere to be found. In the trade centers in New York City, 8 years old. I'm fine, you know? I'm like on an observation deck walking around. I still remember it. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, you know, this is like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. My parents, I wasn't concerned at all. I knew they were going to find me eventually, hopefully. But I do remember thinking, okay, it's been about 10, 15 minutes. I hadn't seen my parents, so I start looking for them myself. not panicking, but just kind of freaking out a little bit. Well, finally, I go up to a security guard because, you know, security guards are safe, right? So I went to a security guard. I said, hey, I'm lost. I need to find my parents. They took me into an office where all the security guards stayed, and they were feeding me donuts and giving me Coke. And I thought it was awesome. I mean, I thought it was great until my mom walked in. And my mom was like, you know, why have you done this to us? No, I'm just kidding. But she was very upset and scared because it wasn't her fault. It was me. I'm the one that chose to stay behind. But what was interesting is that when I was in that office talking to the security guards, I'm asking questions and I'm learning stuff and I'm growing. But I'm in trouble, and like lots of big trouble. So Jesus grew. Serving grows you. It connects you. It grows you. And I want to talk about one more thing that I believe serving has done more for me in my life than anything else. Serving allows you to see. You may be asking, well, what does it allow you to see? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to John chapter 2. And I want to read the story where Jesus turns water into wine. And I want you guys to really pay attention to the characters and what's going on in this story. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. They were invited. They were guests at this wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "We don't have any wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." So the mother said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification where they washed their feet, containing 20 to 30 gallons. Some people say 50 gallons. How many of you guys know what a 50-gallon drum of oil looks like? It's big and heavy. Jesus said to them, who's them? The servants. Fill the water pots with water. So they, the servants, filled them to the brim. And he said to them, the servants, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they, the servants, you'll get it in a second, took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he didn't know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first." And he goes on and on and on. Go back to the verse right before that. Yes. But the servants who had served the wine knew. I believe that there are miracles that you will not experience until you serve. I believe that there are miracles God wants to show you. Not just in your life, but he wants you to witness miracles. He wants you to see them. And I really couldn't understand why he wanted us to see miracles. Like, okay, that's awesome. I love seeing miracles, and I've seen miracles. But why? Why is it so important? Let's go to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you." The word miracle comes from dunamis. It's a Greek word, and it means, like, it's where we get the word dynamite. It means power. It means God's working his power, his miracle-working power. And I'm telling you, I have seen miracles on every single team I've ever served on. I've seen marriages completely restored on the usher team. I've seen depression completely leave guys after prayer. I've seen addiction, like nasty addiction, drug addiction, completely leave people on our usher team when they come and they serve and they get connected and they realize how much Jesus loves them, and it completely eradicates that stuff out of their life. I've seen marriages completely restored on our parking team. I've gotten phone calls from people, and it's just like everything's falling apart. And in a matter of moments after prayer, I'm telling you, Jesus comes on the scene and completely fixes things. I'm seeing marriages completely restored today. Like, somebody talked to me after the last service and was telling me about some stuff that's going on, and it was a disaster. I mean, it was a horrible situation. And he said, now they're actually serving, or, you know, spending time together, going to things together. Everything is kind of completely coming together. No more divorce. No more talk about it. I'm experiencing that in my own life right now. Not in my marriage, but in my family. I'm seeing God restore a marriage that was supposed to fall apart. And I got to see all these things because I served. I got to see all these things because I chose to be an usher and serve in section one. It all led to it. Now, I haven't even mentioned the prayer team. I get to come down here each week, and I'm not able to be at every single service, you know, at the end of them, but I will sneak down here, and every single time I come down here, I see a miracle. See, a lot of times people look for the fireworks. They look for the big things when they talk about miracles. But man, miracles are not just huge things. I think they're all huge, but they're not huge in the natural. Sometimes people can come down here with a broken heart and you can pray for them and you see that thing get mended. That is a miracle. I've seen legs grow out sitting right here in these chairs. I've prayed for people and seen these legs grow out. I've seen other people pray for people, and you guys have seen it too, and their legs grow out and completely heal them forever. I saw a guy walk in here one night. His mom and I had been praying for him. I never met the guy. He was about to be put on kidney dialysis and was actually getting ready to be put on the list for a new kidney. He walks in here one night, just got out of the hospital, and something happened, y'all. I can't even explain it. Like, I saw him coming down the aisle, and the Lord's like, run. Run to him. So I ran up to him, and I just hugged him. And I'd never met this guy before, but it's like I just knew who it was. I knew it was him. We hugged and I prayed for this guy. Man, I know it's not all about feelings, but I felt the power of God go into him in that moment. A week later, he goes back to the doctor and he's like, well, you don't need to be on this list anymore. And you don't need dialysis anymore because your numbers are going up. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you guys, I've seen miracles after miracles in this place. And it's all because I served. I never would have got to see any of that stuff unless I chose to trust God and pass a bucket, even in fear. It all led to that. I believe there are miracles tied to your serving. I believe that when you serve, you get to see miracles. And God's miraculous power is what constantly energizes us. It's what keeps that fire stirred up when you go to work and you don't want to talk about Jesus. But you do anyway, and you pray for somebody, and you see their heart get restored. You see their marriage get restored. You talk to somebody at a gas station who looks down, and you decide to say, hey, you know what? Hey, how you doing today? And all of a sudden, it leads into this conversation where you get to pray for them. That is a miracle. I mean, that's a divine connection. Like, only God can do that kind of stuff. But what I've noticed is that when you serve, you come in here, and you hear about these testimonies, and you talk to people, and you see lives getting restored. You see these miracles, and it energizes you. It gives you the courage and the strength to go out and do the same thing. And I believe, honestly, that's what we're called to do, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you see how things are tied together? Now, I know, like I said in the very beginning, there's some people in here, you're here for the first time. And as important as serving is and important as all these values are, I believe the most important thing is a relationship with Jesus, period. You've got to have this thing. It is more real than you could ever imagine. Some of you right now are getting nervous because it's like, oh, what are they fixing to ask me to do? We're not asking you to do anything. But I am going to ask you to just check your heart right now. So I want to pray for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every single person that's in here. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts to just be here. They didn't have to be here today. I thank you, Lord, for the courage and strength that it took for them to come in here today. When they could have done 1,000 other things, they were here today. And it's not by coincidence. It's not by coincidence, because we have 5 different speakers this weekend. So, Father, right now, I just ask your Holy Spirit to come, touch their hearts. Tell them how much you love them. Minister to them. If you're here today and you're like, man, I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been in church your whole life and you're like, I've just been doing all this stuff. But there seems like there's a void, there's an emptiness. Well, there's a reason. Because Jesus has got to come before all this stuff, all these things that we get to do. They're awesome. But Jesus is the center. He's everything. So if you're here today and you know that you don't have a true relationship with him, you never really took time to talk to him, maybe you pray, maybe you ask for things, but it's more than that. It's a two-way conversation. It's a dialogue. And maybe you just never talked to Jesus, but you want that intimacy. You want that intimate relationship with him. I just want you to slip your hand up. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. If you know you need Jesus today and you don't have him in your heart, just slip your hand up. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Raise them up high so I can see them, man. We're counting. It's awesome. Praise God. Those are all miracles. Every single one of those hands going up is a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. I want to get everybody in here to repeat this after me. Jesus, I need you. I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for not condemning me, but loving me. Jesus, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Change my life forever. I believe in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.